Right.
So, you know, we're just really thankful for this ability and to be able to do this.
Oh, it's exciting. We're really, we'll let you know as soon as it's launched. It'll be soon. Nan, mention our Thursday night show real quick. You got about 30 seconds.
Life coaching show with Mama Mac, that's you, and Dr. Angel, and you cover all kind of topics, and it blesses people.
It's really a joy to do that show. We've been doing a series, Developing Healthy Relationships. We're going to finish it up this Thursday night. It's on this same network, 6.06 p.m. every Thursday night for 1 hour, 6.06 p.m. to 7 o'clock. That's Go Yard. That means hitting a home run in life, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what it is. We want to help you learn how to handle life's difficult situations and problems in a little better way. Betty, you got 10 seconds. What would you say about Go Yard?
Learning to understand some of the things that we all go through, and that you give us little topics of things to apply to our everyday life.
Amen. That's it right there. All right. Don't go anywhere, guys.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
All right. Welcome back to the second half of Living the Good Life. We're in our 13th year on this air, on this station. I cannot believe that, Betty. 13 years plus. We're going to hit that number April, the middle of April, the Sunday that we do... We have Easter that Sunday. We will hit our 13th year anniversary right here every Sunday afternoon for 2 hours on this radio station. Betty, you want to comment on that? And then I'm going to go to Nan for a comment on that very thing. It's totally amazing, if you ask me.
Well, I think one of the things is getting the word out this way. It you know, it reaches so many people.
Yes.
So much quicker than just, you know, walking and talking, is that it's an outlet for God's word to reach those maybe that can't get out or weren't able to make it to a church of their choice, that they can still listen to the word of God over the radio airwaves. And it travels from your geographical area, but it travels all around the
all
world.
All around the world, yeah.
And again, reaching God's people exactly where they are.
Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. So welcome back to the second half of Living the Good Life today, right here. We have this new way of you watching what's going on in the studio. Nan's in there. Why don't you wave? If you're watching on YouTube, YouTube/Tantalk Radio/live during the show. Or if it's later, you can go YouTube/Tantalk Radio/the name of this show, Living the Good Life, and put the date on it. So the date today is 2/16/20. So Nan looks lonely in there. I'm in the control room right through the glass running all the board and all the music and everything. So Nan, you have a comment on that? Are you lonely?
Jesus is with me, Pastor.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Oh, that's so sweet. And Betty, you're in your, I don't know, your living room or someplace in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The amazing technology we can do. I'm sitting in here. Nan's over there through the glass. Betty's in San Jose. No, she's in Grand Rapids. Wherever you are, Betty. I don't know.
Okay.
So Betty will agree to be wherever you say she is, Pastor.
Okay.
Yeah. She's
okay.
Just really.
Yeah, I will go, you know, where you go, I will follow.
Okay.
You sound like Ruth. Are you
like
Ruth?
Yeah, you do. You sound like Ruth. 2 weeks ago today, I'll tell you where I was right now. I was preaching in Enrique Centeno's church, Libres por Amor, which means free because of love, God's love. And we had an amazing service that afternoon. They are in service right now in Puebla, Mexico. And it was such a joy that the couple, almost 2 weeks I was there, 10 days, just the joy of being with them, with our radio station that we have there in Puebla that belongs to Beacon of Hope Ministries. We began it 4 years ago. It reaches out to Central and South America, Spanish programming, all centered around the theme of freedom, what it means to be free. We tackle social things. We tackle spiritual things. It's all about freedom. And it's an internet radio station. When we first began 4 years ago, we were trying to get an AM station, and that did not work with the Mexican government, so we just went straight to internet, and we are reaching so many people. when I was there on the Tuesday night show, I got there on Monday night late. We had a show on Tuesday night live with three professors, actually, from the university right there in Mexico. And the show was on the freedom, women in freedom, what that means. It was really good, all in Spanish, of course. As I was sitting there watching the computer, there were over 2,400 people watching that show, listening to that show through Central and South America. Several of them, like 75 of them, responded, started asking questions. So those questions would come up on the screen. It's just amazing, Nan, to see this. And they would come up, and then the girls that were doing the show, there were three of them, would look and take a question or respond to Jorge or whoever it was. Betty, what a blessing. Our radio station is located on the top of a building where two of the missionaries live in an apartment right below the radio station. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yes, and I have to say this to you, Pastor, and to Enrique, and to Luis. Gracias.
Yes.
It's something that, you know, in my wildest dreams, is going to another country to be able to preach the gospel.
Yes.
I think it's one of those things where you know you're leading, you know that, you know, God has made you a leader in that area for the brown people in Mexico.
Mi
Honduras,
gente, my people. Yes.
Your people, that's right.
Mi gente.
Yeah. And it, you know, and now it's taken a new perspective. It's taken a new route to be able to minister to, is it the Hermitos?
Hermanitos.
Hermanitos.
The H is silent in Spanish. Hermanitos.
Hermanitos.
Yeah.
Is children.
Yeah.
And that these children are street children, and they're giving them, through this ministry, they're giving them food,
yes,
and blankets,
yes,
you know, to keep them warm. And I mean, that just,
it's amazing.
I don't know what that does to my heart. It is amazing. And to see the pictures of the smiles on their faces.
Oh, yeah.
That maybe that's the only time that they smiled that day was when they got to have food in their tummy.
Oh, we
and
went,
this
yes.
Is something.
Yes.
Oh, I just.
Yeah, it happens,
you know,
every day in Puebla.
Every day.
Puebla is a town of about 2.5 million people. So we're not talking a little tiny village. We're talking a big place. And people come down from the mountains that cannot get work. And a lot of times the children are on the streets by themselves or with their mother over somewhere else. And they run up. We have a vehicle that's actually an old taxi. We don't have it, it belongs to Luis's dad. And we are allowed to use it. And they go out with cereal, with milk, with Jell-O, with oatmeal, with little cereal type stuff. Sometimes they get a sandwich, like a ham sandwich. We went to the grocery after we went and fed. We used up everything we had in the car, and then we went to the grocery. And we bought cartloads full of stuff to last for a month, because Luis's mother, Carmelita, puts together these sandwiches and these meals. And I tell you, you talk about a joy. There's nothing quite like it. And we are going to be planning a trip back to Puebla late in the year or at the beginning of next year. And that's something I'm very excited, and people need to start praying about whether they need to be a part of that, Betty. And so...
I'm not going to Mexico. And you'll go Mexico.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, you never know. When you tell God you're not going to do something, you got to look out, because you never know what's coming
that's
next.
That's what I'm hoping he's hearing, no.
Okay,
no,
well, but he doesn't care about our no. I mean, look at David. David, you know, I mean, it would have been easier probably for him in a lot of ways just to leave town and not fight Saul and everything else. David wrote the words to this song, "My Feet Are on the Rock."
I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the howling lies that haunt me. Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rock. When I feel my heart.
solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands. Our feet are on the rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands.
I love that song. Nan's got something right there that God gave her. And then we're going to run to Psalm 31 for a moment. Go ahead.
My feet are on the rock. This I can truly say. Fear will not grip me, for I trust God and I pray. And when the clouds seem dark, despite what comes my way, this one thing I do know. I know that I will be okay.
That's right on, isn't it? Go to Psalm 31. Let's listen to what David says. He went through so much. He says, I run to you, God. I run for dear life. I'm in the Message Bible, Psalm 31. Don't let me down. Take me seriously this time. Get down on my level and listen. And please, no procrastination, David tells God. In other words, don't delay. Hurry up. Help me. And then David says this, your granite cave is a hiding place. Your high cliff, a place of safety. Verse 3 of Psalm 31. This is for someone out there in Radio Land, because this is not where I was going next. So this is for someone, whoever you are, receive this. Psalm 31, verse 3. David said this, you're my cave to hide in. That's God. You hide in God and in his word and in his promises. He said, you're my cave to hide in, my cliff to climb. Be my safe leader. Be my true mountain guide. Free me from hidden traps. We all need that, to be freed from hidden traps. I want to hide in you. I put my life in your hands. You won't drop me. You'll never let me down. I hate all the silly religion, but I trust in you. In you, God, I trust. I'm leaping and singing in the circle of your love. David understood God's love. David was one that danced before the Lord. He danced so much that his wife, Michal, looked out the window and saw him making a spectacle of himself, worshiping God, dancing and playing instruments and dancing down the street. And she goes, I hate him. You know, this is ridiculous. Anyway, that was the end of their marriage, right? Because David did leap and sing in the circle of God's love. He said, you saw my pain. You disarmed my tormentors. You didn't leave me in their clutches, but gave me room to breathe. Be kind to me, God. I'm in deep, deep trouble again. And then he goes on and talks about it. But in verse 14, David says of Psalm 31, desperate, I throw myself on you. You are my God. Hour by hour, I place my days in your hand. Save from the hands out to get me. Warm me, your servant. Warm me with a smile. And save me because you love me. Going down to verse 19 in Psalm 31, David says this, what a stack of blessing you have piled up for those who worship you, ready and waiting for all who run to you to escape an unkind world. You hide them safely away from the opposition. I love those verses in Psalm 31. They go right along with that song we just played and go right along with this concept that David in 2 Samuel chapter 5 had to learn to trust God. He had to develop his trust in God. We've been saying that over the last 8 weeks with all these shows on this topic, developing trust. It's not something just happens overnight. You pray and you believe God. Talk to us, Betty, about this. It doesn't happen quickly. Sometimes it takes time, you know, to learn to develop that trust in God.
Well, that's where we have to sit tight. This is where the waiting room comes in, is that, you know, we are going through probably maybe one of the worst trials that we've faced in a long time. And that's where trust is built.
Amen.
With some people, it has to be done brick by brick.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
By brick by brick. And then you have to wait, let the mortar set, you know, let things start to sink in and let God, and some people have to let God in slowly because they may have been hurt. They may have had, you know, something that they've just been devastated, that they have a distrust in anything. So with those people, and like myself, is it takes time to build trust. And with God, all things are possible. So mm-hmm. that's where, again, we say, God, you are my strength. You are my stronghold. Just like it said in Psalm 31, we are to worship him
yes.
and to give him the trust and the faith to believe. And
amen.
You know, even if our faith is the size of a mustard seed, don't be afraid to use
right.
it, because that will bring you closer to God. And you know, when we come close to God, he comes close to us.
Amen.
And it's one of the things that we have to learn, is once we see God working, and sometimes we can't see him working, but he's always working in the background. So through the power of his Holy Spirit,
amen,
that he begins to lift you up. You begin to see that, oh, you know, and journaling, you know, we talk about journaling a lot,
mm-hmm.
is write down
yes.
where you started and where you end up.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see step by step of how God had brought you through that particular circumstance. You're unharmed, and you're a better person for it.
Amen.
And I use Megan as an example with Grayson's death. It's my grandson, her son, that, you know, he lived 33 hours. So what she did is during those 9 months, she knew that there was a chance that Grayson would not make it through even the birth.
Right.
And that she had faith and trust and saw God work even after, and he did pass. Even after his passing, she had to learn to retrust, to trust God.
Sure.
And we even talked about it today after the service. She goes that she has seen so much happen in by trusting God.
Right.
Of what he brought her through.
Yes.
And that she's stronger, even through the death of a child.
Right.
That she is much stronger and able to stand on her own, but through the power of his love, the power of his grace, and his faithfulness,
amen.
She made it through.
Amen.
So what I'm, I guess, with my lengthy talk, is what I'm saying is, don't give up.
Don't give up.
Just like David never gave up.
No.
He just became, you know what, he was a leader. He proved to God that, you know, from the lowly shepherd boy, that he was a leader. And that's what God wants us to do. Let God lead you. Trust God and let him show you what he can do, instead of trying to do it on our own. And again, God never fails. Never fails. God
never
is
fails.
Good, but all the time.
Amen. Woo! Well, we're in 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're about verse 17. Because David is crowned king, everything looks good. He has to fight the Jebusites. He takes his city back. Things are looking better. And then the Philistines, those are the ones who were so mad because their giant Goliath was killed by little David when he was like 14 or 15 years old with that rock in the sling, if you all remember. The Philistines got word that David is now king over all of Israel, so they come to hunt him down. Guys, just when your things are going good, a lot of times the enemy hears that you're doing pretty good, and he'll come and try to trip you up. David heard of it, and he went down to the stronghold. What did David do when he heard that the enemy was coming? He went to the Lord. He went to the stronghold. He went to that time with God, like we've been talking about all through this show, where you have time, you take time in the presence of God, you open your Bible, you get stronger in faith, you pray for others, you pray for yourself. David went down to the stronghold and he said, what am I going to do? Shall I go up and fight the Philistines? He went and asked him a question. Guys, it's okay to ask God questions. Betty, I go back to the journal thing. I ask God questions a lot, and I'll write them in my journal. And then he'll give me an answer. Sometimes not right on the spot. Sometimes on the spot. And he said, shall I go up? Are you going to help me beat them? And he goes, yep, you can count on me. I love that. You can count on me. God said, you can count on me. I'll help you beat them. You can count on him. People, you can count on God. Nan, I had you all saying it over and over again this morning, didn't I, in the sermon?
Yes, I can count on God.
I can
count. Sorry.
No, that's what we good. Did. That's what you did. Why was that important?
Why was that important?
Yeah, just do say something like that. What does that do for you when you say it?
It makes me feel empowered with
it
God's
does.
Power and strength. And
yes.
It was really cool collectively when you had everybody saying it like that.
And at you know, first, you all were little wimps, and I said, oh, y'all are sounding terrible.
That's why I said it loudly just then.
I know, because
I learned
in service, they were going, I can count on God.
I can count on God.
Yeah. And I said, are you kidding me, people? Get really strong about this. I can count on God. I can. Right? And I'll help you beat them, is what God said. David then went straight up to them, and he smashed them to pieces. And then David said about God, God exploded on my enemies like a gush of water. He named the place Baal Perazim, which means he is the master who exploded, or it also means he's the Lord of the breakthrough. David had a breakthrough over the Philistines right here. And he wasn't even sure he was supposed to go fight him. And God said, oh, yeah, you can count on me. Go do it. Okay? So important that we learn who the Lord of the breakthrough is. Nan, talk about the Lord of the breakthrough and why do we need breakthroughs and how do we get breakthroughs and when do we get breakthroughs and over what situations do we get breakthroughs? And I think that's all the questions I have for you right now about breakthroughs.
Can you repeat that, please?
No, I cannot.
Well, breakthroughs are important. Like I said a while ago, I mean, we live in a world, we're human, we have that life issues. We've talked about waiting rooms, that there's time, you know, when you get through the one waiting room, you're going to be in another one pretty soon on different situations, but you're there. But you've learned trust, as we've spoken about, you've learned trust in God and that he will see you through. We need a breakthrough for our own self. I mean, there's times that, you know, you cry, you pray, you praise, you read the word, you're doing everything you know you're supposed to do. You set aside special time to spend with your special friend, which is God. And you're like, how much more do I have? How much more? And we need that breakthrough. When he comes through that breakthrough, it increases our faith. It helps in situations. It also gives us an opportunity to have a testimony to be able to share with people. Like Megan has reached many, 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 many people as a result of a sad situation that happened in her life. And as Betty said, that, you know, she learned to trust God all over again. And then she was able to share with people. And her light has shined very brightly. She had a breakthrough as she was waiting on God after the situation of going, okay, God, now what's happening here? You know, he gave her a breakthrough. And that's why she was able to minister to people. Amen. As she has done.
Why do we need breakthroughs, Nan?
To see us get through whatever we need to face.
We don't want to stay stuck in our problems.
No. Some people
like
this
their
far.
Problems.
Some of them like
yes.
it because they like the attention.
Right.
Some people just flat out like attention. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what I'm dealing with. And don't get me wrong, listeners, we need to share. There are times we need to share with people. We need to use our prayer line on the beacon, which we'll talk about and all that. But, you know,
yeah,
so
you're right about all that.
You know,
we need to know the Lord of the breakthrough. We need to know him. We need to know how powerful he is to move in our situation. And we need to let go of the attention seeking that some people get from having a problem all the time to saying, I'm following the Lord of the breakthrough. I'd rather live in victory than to live in defeat. That's my, that's me. Okay. That's where I'm coming from, Betty. Betty, talk to us a minute.
Well, breakthrough is, makes us overcomers.
Amen.
It shows the devil that you didn't win. I won because I have the Lord of angel armies behind
Amen.
Me.
Amen. Amen.
Just like David did.
Woo!
Is that we become stronger in the spirit.
Yes.
We become a victorious, mighty moving people mm-hmm. when we have the Spirit of God in us, when we've been through a trial, because it gives us that, you know, that play on words. It gives us, you know, that trial gives us a testimony.
Right.
Okay, that's why we pray for people, is that we want people to become overcomers. We
yes.
want the success stories through Jesus Christ. We want to be able to help you through. And if we can even make a spark in your life where you can have that breakthrough that you need, that you've prayed and prayed and prayed over it, tell someone. Let us know. Let us help you receive that breakthrough. If you're fighting, addiction, things like this that you've tried and tried and tried for breakthrough on, is that there is power in prayer, that there
Amen.
Is power in numbers. And if we can encourage you, this is, again, encouragement
yes. Yes.
to keep you going,
right.
to not let you feel defeated. And because we have the ability to step on snakes and scorpions, because we have that power. The same power that raised Christ Jesus
You're
from
right.
the dead lives in each and every one of us.
Yes.
We just have to tap into that power. And remember that you are a child of the King,
mm-hmm.
that you are an overcomer.
Amen.
And it's just amazing to me how the devil can, and he reached me this week. He got into one of those, you know, he works with the mind, and this was going to happen, that I was, you know, I was going to be, I'll talk about it later once I know that this was not me and it was God, to say, I resist you, I rebuke
sure.
you,
sure, yeah,
and understand that that's what causes breakthrough, is that when you have that umption that comes up in your gut.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know that's kind of a crazy way to say it.
No, it is.
But it's this, the power that comes up in you, that just like it did with Dan, is, you know, I am a child of God. I will do this. I am an overcomer, that Satan will not defeat me. And sometimes it takes, and you can hear me when I'm here by myself or in my car, is I'm surprised that people driving by can't hear me, because last week I said, you will no longer have your way with me, Satan, because I am
Amen.
Who God says I am, and I will not be defeated. And it broke. You know, that's what breakthrough is. It just it broke. It's like that explosion.
Exactly.
You know, God's power came on the scene, raised me up, and said, do not let him defeat you again. So what do I have to do? Put on the armor, prayer, praise, the music through the Word of God.
Amen.
Through the encouragement of, you know, Nan sent out so many things this last week that
yeah.
have really encouraged
encouraging.
Me
yeah.
to keep encouraging.
Yes, yes.
And that's what we need. We need each other. You know, God is with us. If God be with us, who can be against us?
Right.
And God was with Nan this week. God is with you. God is with, you know, with all of our listeners.
Yeah.
But we just have to grasp onto it. We've got to reach that breakthrough point. Don't give up. David didn't. Don't give up.
Don't give up. I already had this song queued up about 20 minutes ago, Betty, but listen how it fits in what you just said. Who You Say I Am, Hillsong. Love this song.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken.
Father's house, there's a place for us. There's a place for you, listener. Nan's got a poem during that song. Let's see what it says from God.
Please realize who I am. I am your loving Father. I will free you from so much to be able to help you go farther. I have set you free, precious child. Please believe that I am with you. Despite what things may appear, you will certainly make it through.
No matter what it looks like, right? No matter what it looks like, what we feel or see, the word is working mightily in me. Right, Nan? Go ahead.
Right. I just wanted to just briefly share, you know, I was dealing with like a health situation going on. And, you know, it involves my kidneys. And, I mean, I was thinking I've got a death sentence on this situation with what it was appearing, you know. And you wind up getting to the specialist and everything, and it's not as severe as what I was thinking it was, you know. But during that time, God was really with me because as I was sharing with you, I'm not worried about this, you know. Normal reaction would be to be worried about it with what I saw on the paper, but it was like God's got this, and that was truly God's grace with me. Because I probably normally would have been worried about it all that time. But I wasn't. He helped me get to a specialist pretty quickly. I was going to have to wait 3 or 4 months. The ones I was finding, I found one quickly. He turned out to be a fantastic doctor, knows my primary, they know each other, you know. And so God just worked that out. But, you know, God was with me and is still with me through this situation, you know. And that's where the trust in God has to come.
Where it has to come.
And, you know, if this would have been 3, 4 years ago, 5 years or whatever, I wouldn't have been able to be as calm. But it's because I've learned to trust my God. Trust has come in, and I can trust God with this. And
that's what it's about.
And that's
learning
trust.
To trust.
Exactly. We learn, you know, and we have, you know, different people on different levels of trust.
Yes.
You know, and some people might say, wow, look at what that person has. I couldn't handle it the way they do. Well, they're at a different level of trust than what maybe we are at.
Right. Very good. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 5. I want to finish this chapter. So we see here that David does battle the Philistines, and he wins, and God shows himself to be the Lord of the breakthrough. In verse 22 of 2 Samuel 5, the Philistines come back again. And I'm in the Message Bible. There was a later repeat performance. This is what the devil does. You can win a battle, and then the devil will back away for a short time, and he'll come right back at you and probably try a different tactic or try the very same thing to wear you down. Nan, you're shaking your head, so tell me about that. Oh. Because that's how the devil works, right?
That's just the way he works, you know? I mean, like with the situation I'm facing, I've had a reaction because of the medication I was taking for something else.
Right.
But, you know, you know, Satan trying to come at you, okay, now this is what I'm going to have happen to you, or now this next thing I'm going to have. But, you know, we can, as we go through each time of testing, as we trust God in that testing of Satan trying to come at us,
yes,
to test, you know, to try to test,
right,
our faith in God, you know, we trust God and we move in. Like I said, you know, there's times where you know, that we're in the waiting rooms, and we talked,
yes,
I mentioned that earlier in the first hour. We're in a waiting room, and we get out of, I guess share. So I leave church one night, Wednesday night, and God,
okay,
you'll remember this. God spoke to me and said, go to the waiting room. Or no, I'm taking you somewhere. I'm thinking, okay, so I'm driving home. I live in Tampa. I go to church in Clearwater. So I'm driving home. All of a sudden, I'm on the interstate. He's like, get off, go to St. Joseph Hospital. I'm like, okay. So I go to St. Joe's Hospital. God, I mean, I don't audibly hear him speaking.
But you know, that's
my
spirit, where you're supposed to go.
So I went, and he goes, sit down. So I went and I sat down in the waiting room, in the mercy waiting room. I'm like, I have no idea why I'm here, God, but I will stay here as long as I learn whatever I'm supposed to learn here. I'm here. And I was just sitting there, and I was just watching people around, and heard this gentleman talking about God, and I became very intrigued in his conversation, and went over, sat down, and joined in with him and told him how God had sent me there. And, you know, I felt he sent me there to hear what he had to say. But while I was sitting in that waiting room, you know, it's like it was filled with people. And they're all there for various reasons. You know, one little lady's in a wheelchair, and you know, another couple's holding a baby. And, you know, they were all in the waiting room for different reasons. And that's the way we are spiritually.
Amen.
Most of us are in some sort of waiting room.
Yeah.
But in a different type of waiting room.
Yeah.
But we're there. Anyway, that was kind of an interesting trip. Then I went home.
Okay. So thanks for that little story. Later, there was a repeat performance. Okay. The Philistines come back. The devil will do that to you. When you think you've won that battle, and maybe you won that battle, and then the devil comes back and just circles around and tries something different to get you discouraged, depressed, anxious, whatever. David again prayed to God, and this time he said to God, God said to him, don't attack them head on. In other words, God had a different plan for the same bad guys, the Philistines that were coming at David and the Israelites. This time he thought, let's try something a little different here, okay? And he said, here's what's going to happen. This time, circle around behind them and ambush them from the trees, from that grove of trees over there. And then David heard God say this, when you hear the sound of shuffling, when, okay? When you hear it. You know, so often we think everything is an if. Well, if I hear God tell me what to do, or if I feel led. No, we should be using the word when I feel led. When God tells me what to do, not if, but when. God said, when you hear the sound of shuffling in the trees, get ready, move out. It's a signal. I'm going ahead of you to smash the Philistine camp. David did exactly what God told him. He routed the Philistines all the way. He went after them, plundered them, did it. It was the word win requires faith, and it requires waiting, Betty. Comment on that. It was when God decided to move the tree leaves, and that was David's signal. It was when. It required faith and patience.
Well, most definitely, because David knew that he had something to do, and just like we do, you know, we know that there is something that lies ahead of us, but God gave him a plan, and when God gives you something to do, he's going to give you a plan. He's going to give you the directions in what you are to do, and that's where we trust God. Is sometimes in our human nature is that we begin to doubt. We begin to see that we're not maybe equipped enough to be able to do the job that God wants us to do. But what he'll do in this trust, in this this trust interim is that you begin to see God move, and then he gives you a plan, just like he did David with the Philistines. He gave him a plan and told him to watch and wait. And that's when we begin to see God move, is when we sit back and let him show us the plan, and he will see you through to completion. And that's the part of trust. That's the part of waiting to see, okay, God. You say, well, God doesn't talk to me. I used to think that also, but it was because most of the time I was doing a lot of the talking and I wasn't listening. Or I would be reading the Bible and it would just, you know, come alive and say, oh, I've always thought that was that this way. And God said, no, this is what I want you to do. This is the plan that I have for you. Just like he did David. He gave him a foolproof plan of how to defeat them. David trusted God enough to say, okay, we'll wait for it. He waited for it, victorious. You know, Amen. There was a victory.
Yes.
That was a success. That was that breakthrough moment that came. And can you imagine a lowly little shepherd boy defeating the Philistines because God was behind him? And that's where we have to have the faith and the trust behind God. Mm-hmm. Say, okay, this little girl from Indiana who's now in Michigan, God, you're going to see me through. You're going to give me a plan. You've already laid it out. The Holy Spirit already knows ahead of time what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and you just have to trust God, just like David did, to say,
Amen.
I will see you through. I am behind you. I am with you. I will Woo! Never leave you nor forsake you.
And it's
just amazing to what God can do if mm-hmm. we let him. Mm-hmm. If we let him.
It takes developing trust in him. You know, you have a good friend, and the good friend says, I'm going to do my best to never lie to you. I'll tell you the truth, whether it hurts or not. And then time goes on, and the friend lies to you. And you thought, wait a minute. I just found out that person lied to me. What happens to the trust? Right?
It goes. Man? It goes.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because trust is developed, I submit to you all, trust has a lot to do with truth, okay? The word of God is true. God's word is truth. It says in John chapter 1 that the word became flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14, that's Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Truth, Jesus said, sanctify them. In his high priestly prayer before he went to the cross, Jesus said to the Father, sanctify them, set them apart in truth. Let people know there's something about them that's different than others because they tell the truth, right? When you read the Bible, you have to look at it as looking for what God is saying to you and realizing in your situation, God is going to steer you in truth. Nan, talk to us about this.
I just go back to, you know, we're talking about the whole trust thing.
Yeah, that's it, right there.
Yeah, you know, I was, this is kind of along that lines, I was walking in my parents' driveway. I remember, it was yesterday morning, I was walking in my parents' driveway, walking to my car, and I was kind of communing with God, and I said, God, I said, do you, like, talk to people like you talk to me? I mean, you know, this is pretty cool stuff, you know?
I
said,
it.
Do a lot of people hear like this? And you know, he spoke to me. He said, I do, but they're not receptive, and they don't listen.
Don't listen.
And, you know, we can trust God. We
yes.
can trust him with anything
yes,
and everything. We
yes,
can trust
we can.
Him. Then we were talking about friends. I was thinking last night I was thinking, who are my closest friends?
Sure.
I have a lot of friends.
Right.
I have a lot of acquaintances. But who
it's
are my closest
friends?
It's because
you're crazy and likable and everybody thinks you're great. So you do have a lot of friends.
Isn't
man.
It great?
You
but,
do.
LOL.
She does,
if this was a text, it'd be LOL at that point.
Right.
But, you know, I know who I can really, 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 really trust with whatever.
Right.
They won't judge me. They won't look down on me. They'll be there for me, and they'll pray with me and pray for me.
Right.
And those are the ones I hold closest to my heart.
Sure.
And it can't be all those 150 Facebook friends you have.
Right.
Mine are only a handful, but they're the ones that's closest to me that I can trust.
Well, Jesus had 70 that he sent out two by two. He had the original 12, which were part of that group. And then in that 12, he had three that he was the closest to, Peter, James, and John. And of that three, he had one, John, that's beloved, who wrote Book of Revelation and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And you know, the Book of John, you see that when we are really walking in trust of God in the middle of our situation, things turn out a lot better than we thought they were going to, Betty. This is what amazes me so often. And it's so true. And I'll say to God, God, you really, I never would have thought you would have done that way. But thanks. You know what I mean, Betty?
Oh, yeah, because there are times when we are in a deficit.
Yeah.
And that means a negative state.
Right.
And you think, there is no way that this is going to turn out to give you glory, you know? And then you turn around, maybe, you know, maybe be a day, it may be a month, maybe a year, maybe years, and you think, you did know. You turned
yes,
it around.
Yes.
And it gave you the glory.
Yes.
I would have had no idea that you would have ever, you know,
exactly.
It would have done this way. And that's,
yes.
You know, going back, you know, to David, is that God always gave David kind of a heads up.
He sure did.
He always was there whenever he asked.
Right.
And you know what? That same God is available to us.
Amen.
When we ask, when we say, hey, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, I need you.
Amen.
I mean, that is just as simple as that. And, you know, God, I need you. Can you help me out here? I need you. And, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like talking to you and Nan, you know, today is, if I needed either one of you, you would be there for me.
Sure.
Because that's the kind of trust that we have in each other.
Right.
But then we've got to look up and know that we have to have that same trust with our Heavenly Father. And there's so many, there was a story that they said in church today about regrets, you know, that this person was sick because they had a lot of regrets that they had not talked to God about.
Right.
And once they talk about breakthrough, is that once this person started, you know, saying, Father God, please forgive me. I, you know, my mother hurt me, my father hurt me, my brother hurt me, that it brought around breakthrough because God had orchestrated it. He will finish whatever he starts.
Amen.
We just have to let him finish what he started.
Amen.
And that's where the waiting sometimes happens, and we have to be patient. We have to develop that perseverance. We have to develop that ability to hold on and not give up, because God didn't give up on you.
Amen. Jesus.
He's for you. Again, he's for you. Who can be against you?
Amen.
And it's just amazing what God's love and that trust that encompasses us today.
Jesus, I believe, Big Daddy Weave. Been playing this, I think, every week lately. It just is such a powerful song.
I want to walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus. Move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see.
It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I wanna say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I wanna cling to you, Jesus. Ooh, hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. It's even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come, and let your will be done, right here on earth, just like it. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible is your reality. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible is your reality. God, even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe.
Amen. Jesus, I believe. Is that where your heart is today, dear one?
Help my unbelief, God.
So many times in our lives, Jesus, where we need to acknowledge, Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I may not have it all figured out. I may not have it all together all the time. But Jesus, I believe. And I believe that you can work in my situation. Even though there are times I don't know how you possibly could straighten it out. It's you come to a point of, Jesus, I choose to believe. That's where I'm at. I choose to believe. That's developing trust. Trust. I trust you, God. I don't know how you're going to do this. I have no clue how this is going to work out, but I trust you. And that's where God wants us to be. Nan, what did God give you during that song?
Jesus, please help me. I went, Jesus, please help me with this, as I don't know what to do. The word says I can trust, so at this time, I will believe you. You see the mess that I have now. How am I going to make it? I will read your word and pray. For this moment, I will wait and sit. Please help me in all of this. I just don't know what to do. I will trust you in this mess. I believe that I will make it through. In the second verse, it said, for this moment, I will wait and sit. Sometimes we want to forge ahead and move forward. And that person didn't treat me right. And this is going on. And that's going on. I'm going to strike back up. I want to.
Exactly.
You know, God, sometimes we just need to sit and, wait in the presence of the Lord.
Quiet down.
And quiet down and get renewed, rejuvenated, insight.
He'll strengthen.
He'll let us know what we need to do,
yes,
when we need to do it.
We
have to be careful and not stay in our humanness, and we need to step out of that, step into the spirit realm, and just wait on God. He'll let us know when. I mean, there's been times, you know, you, Betty, and I, we've all faced some pretty interesting, tough situations that we could spend the whole 2 hours, us three of us, talking about this stuff. But we, you know, we waited on God, and and he would move and tell us when to move forward. We'd sit and wait on him, spend time with him, spend time in the Word, spend time praising, spend time praying, and then he will let us know when to move out, just as he did with David.
Amen. Betty, got about a minute and a half.
Okay, if you don't mind, I have a little scripture here.
Go ahead.
Hold on. Jeremiah 17:7-8. This is through the NIV. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, mm-hmm. whose confidence, that's the word, confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And that's one of the things that God is seeing through all of us is our fruit, the fruitfulness and the trust that we
Amen.
Have in him.
Amen.
The more we trust, the more fruit that we can bear.
Right.
And, you know, it sounds, you know, it's like an oxymoron, but it comes to the point where we have that trust and confidence in God that he will see us through.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Amen.
In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. And sometimes it's hard to see, you know, your hand in front of your face or the tree for the forest. But we have to develop that trust. And the only way to trust him is to look to him in all things, because we can Amen. Do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a blessed day. I love you both.
Love you too, Betty. God bless you. Thanks so much for being on today, Betty Thomas from Michigan Way. We will see you soon with us right here in
yes,
Florida.
Ma'am.
God bless you. Thanks
yes,
a
ma'am.
Lot. Nan, a final word from you, please.
One verse. I've said much to you this day. I have used these three ladies to help you. Please look to me with all your trust. Child, watch. You will make it through.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And dear friend, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are in our new location, 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. It's right off of Hercules on Weaver Park between Sunset Point and Drew. So if you're going down Hercules, you'll find it, and it will be on the east side of the street, Weaver Park. And turn down there, and you'll find it, 2058 on the left. We welcome you. Services are Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Wednesday night Bible study actually starts at 6:30. Prayer meeting, though, on Wednesday night starts at 5:45. So if you want to come in and get a part of prayer meeting, do 5:45 Wednesdays. Prayer meeting 6:30. We're usually out of there about around 7:30, a little after 7:30. Everybody's welcome. Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. We also have a 9 a.m. prayer meeting in my office, the pastoral office, at 9 a.m., So we just welcome you to come. We have great praise and worship. It's amazing what God is doing in the services. We are so thankful and grateful to him because he's doing a fresh work, and it's wonderful. And so we look forward to meeting you. If you don't have a home, church home, come to Beacon and join us, and somebody will greet you and bring you in and make you a part of what God's doing. So you can catch these shows again. This is YouTube/Tantalk Radio/Living the Good Life 2/16/20. That's today. You can also go to TantalkNetwork.com, go to podcasts, and go to Living the Good Life, and you'll find it there. And on our new website, when it's up, it'll be on the shows. Will be available through that. So there's ways to listen. Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. to Dr. Angel and I, Go Yard, our life coaching show. We hope that you can come and listen to that on Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. Nan Watson, thank you so much. Betty Thomas, thank you. It's been a great day and a great show, Developing Trust. God bless you. We have a new topic next week, and we're excited about that. Tune in again at 3 o'clock next Sunday. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, Nan, and Betty bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. See you soon, we hope.
I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus,
Ooh, hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see, and it's you in exchange for me.
And Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Call to resign? Coronavirus outbreak. I'm Ann Cates. More than 1,100 former Justice Department employees are urging Attorney General William Barr to step down over his handling of the sentence for Trump ally Roger Stone. Correspondent Jeremy Diamond with an excerpt from the letter.
Mr. Barr's actions in doing the president's personal bidding, unfortunately, speak louder than his words.